Praise the Lord. Lord bless your hearts. Very happy this morning. Jesus is, he's really wonderful to us. Now, if you need anything this morning, you're new or I'm out of town or whatever, the anointing is very powerful. And I don't necessarily have to put my hands on you. If you really feel in your heart and you expect in your heart, miracles take place right now, audience. Sometimes you receive something days later is revealed to you, what the Lord has done in your life. So the atmosphere and power of the Lord is here. And what a privilege, Lord Jesus, to be in this service once again now. As Bible days of old now are here with us, Lord, and your power has been moving among the people, uniting them together, bringing them together for what is ahead, Lord, and the great translation. We believe that. Anoint thy people, take all the pains and stress, anxieties of this world, Lord, that come against them. Take it out, and all the burdens this morning. Touch each heart with thy power, stirring them to the reality of thy anointing and thy great presence. Give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. Now, go ahead. So go ahead and be seated. You know, we do so much prophecy, future events, mysteries, and revelations, and writings, and different things like that, that sometimes it's hard to, you read one place in the Bible, and you've already done that, and something else. And I've got quite a few sermons, but they're after the first of the year, and some of them for television, too, and some of them for this way and that way. So this morning, I'm going over this a little bit and see what we have here. And tonight, no matter what's wrong with you, you'll be here, and we'll be praying. Probably have a line as the Lord leads me. And you need a miracle? If you agree with me in your heart, we see miracles, and they take place. So you'll be here tonight and bring your faith. Amen. Allow your faith to operate. Now, this morning, I'll preach this message and listen to it real close. Terminating. You know, time terminal. We're coming to a time terminal. Time, it's terminating. This is a little prophecy here this morning. You know, we should always bring to remembrance to the people the second coming of Christ and to bring to them how near it is. Because in the scriptures, that's what was on Jesus' heart. And the testimony of Jesus with the spirit of prophecy telling about the coming of the Lord. And many times in his prophecies, he revealed certain signs and so forth when he would be coming and close to the season of his coming. And the Bible says when ministers that see certain signs that have already come to pass, Israel in the homeland, the automobile, the atomic, the computer, television, all these things the Bible already prophesied to come, and the situations of the nations, what's happening in our streets, and many more signs of earthquakes, and the weather patterns and so forth. There's so many of them. When you begin to see these all together in Israel in their homeland, then the Lord said, you're a hypocrite if you do not preach, I'm coming soon. In other words, the unprofitable servant that did not give them meat and word it is in due time. In other words, if you really love the Lord, you want to hear about the second coming of the Lord with all of your heart. But like so many sinners today, they don't want to hear it. And I've often seen in my ministry too, people that are in sin or they don't care anything about, you know, really getting behind the Lord and so forth like that. They don't really want to hear about the second coming of the Lord and so forth. They don't want to hear it. But you get somebody that has come to the Lord Jesus, give their heart to him, begin to hear prophecy. That's all they want to hear is the coming of the Lord. How many of you realize that? That's exactly scripture, and that is right. And so today, with the signs that we see around us today, all the ministers should be preaching that the coming of the Lord is very near and that the Lord is ready to come for his people because we have the signs to back us up with. And like the scriptures say, if they do not preach the closeness of the coming of the Lord, then the Lord said, I will deal with that hypocrite. Amen. Exactly right in the parables and so forth like that. And so we have it. So it's time for the second coming of the Lord. There was a kind of a tarrying time. We'll get to that later in this sermon. But it's to bring, allowing the prophecies to come to pass, allowing a few more souls in the baptism, and we'll get to that right there. A lot of people, you know, way back there thought the Lord was coming, and then they just forget about it. We'll get to that in a moment there. You know, this time of the year, many religious people, they think of Bethlehem, of Jerusalem. Some even go there. They go to shrines and they go to the streets where Jesus walked. You can still see those old streets over there where he walked, where the disciples were at. And they pilgrimage. What do they call it? They go there. They go all over these places and they go to the new city, Tel Aviv, then the old Jerusalem at the Wailing Wall, and they see all of these things. And so this time of the year, it's on their mind about the Jews and so forth like that. And some wonder if God was too hard on the Jews in punishment. seemed very hard on them, scattered them to all nations. But he warned them for 4,000 years through prophet after prophet after prophet, major prophets. And the Lord kept warning them, and they'd turn aside to false gods, and they would turn away from the Lord and so forth like that. Many times when they had too much, they would forget the Lord that he had blessed them and so forth. And some people think, you know, was the punishment too hard? Well, after 4,000 years, and he warned them there. Now, this morning we'll touch on a little bit about that, and some people want to know a little bit more about the 11th and 12th hour here. Now, let's read this. Now, God, love is true. How many of you know that? It's more true than men and women have today, or anybody could have in this world. God's love is true. He still loves them. That is true Israel. That's can't speak for a lot of them that are in sin and will not come to him. But true Israel, he still loves them. It's greater than ever. Now, his plans to save the world took them into consideration, or took us into consideration, and the Jews were blinded away. And so in the plans of providence that the Lord had, that because they were blinded, all of the Gentiles today, the gospel come to them. So in his plans that were to save the world, they're an important time clock. He left a time clock on this earth, and it's in them. Now, you know, this age is not going on forever and ever. And it's not going on and on like some people think. It's terminating. How many of you believe that? It is terminating right before their eyes. Now, before we go on to get into some prophecy, I'm going to turn here and reveal something. There are so many scriptures and so many chapters, and just a few here. You know, in one place in the Bible, it said that at that time, we'll read from Zephaniah 3, 8, 9, and 17, and 19, Zephaniah. It said, "For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent." Seems like Babylon is, it seems like Babel at the Tower of Babel that was healed when they went into all nationalities and all type of languages. Here he's going to bring them into one language and one consent when they praise the Lord upon the earth at that time with the Jews. And we're leading into this now. In verse 8 here, as we go to Zephaniah 3. "Therefore wait ye upon me," tell them, wait, and they're waiting at that wailing wall, "saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to my prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation," that's Armageddon, "even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with a fire of my jealousy." Now he's coming to Israel now. Election is done gone. Translation, verse 17. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty now. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee, Israel, with singing." You think he's against them? You think he has forgotten Israel? He's going to sing over them. Glory. Hallelujah. Now that's that pure seed out of Jacob, coming out of Joseph, and all back through that line to the Messiah, the 144,000 that are sealed in Revelation chapter 7. Now he's going to sing over them with great joy, and he says love. Now he still has the apple of his eye there, and so many people think that the punishment was like it was and so forth. Let's see what he's going to do for them. It was for a sign to the world. It's a time clock, too, that God's got. Then he says here in verse 19, "Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee," all that's ever afflicted them, he will undo. And he says, "and I will save her that halteth." I will save her that halteth. Now, Israel halted in the wilderness for a while. A new generation went over. Halted, went into idols away from the Lord. And when they come up to the Messiah, they halted again, not going forward. "But she that halteth," the Lord says, watch what he's going to do now. "And for save her that halteth," now he said her, speaking of the church, true Israel's seed, "save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out." How plain can you see, along with all the other scriptures, after driving them by the Roman sword all over the world, he said, I will gather them back again. "She that halted, I will bring her back again, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise." He's fixing to do something here. "And fame." He's going to give them fame. See, they haven't had anything like that. Many of them has been good in financial situations, so forth. Many of them haven't. But nevertheless, they've been dishonored in many different ways. But he's going to do something here. "And will get them praise and fame in every land. They that have been put to shame, I will get them fame and praise." They've been put to shame because of the crucifixion of Christ. Some of those seeds couldn't help it, and the ones before that couldn't help it, and so forth like that. And he said, "And those where they've been shamed," he said, "where they have been shamed, I'm going to get them fame." Now, that's during the millennium rule when they sit with the king. He's anointed for them. How many of you believe that? Love Israel? That little verse and all over the Bible. Sure, his punishment, it looks extreme and terrible sometimes. But all what he's got for them. Now, how much more the elect that he holds also as the apple of his eye? The very closest thing to him, the elect. How much more in faith and power will he do for you even today? The works I do shall you do. Oh, I am hovering over you. Amen. Now, we have the privilege of working those miracles. They're still in blindness today. Just look at that. He's coming to her, and he's coming well to them. Now, you know, Israel, back in the homelands, he's fixing to put them in the millennium. They'll have a name of fame in every land. They'll control the millennium. The holy city and the bride will be with the Lord Jesus. He'll be sitting in Jerusalem. That's right, during that time. But there's a holy city, too. There's a translation gone out before that. They're right at the right hand of the Lord Jesus there. Now, you know, so we find out in the second coming, there seemed to be a pause. But why? Let's read this right here. The midnight hour sign is Israel. Watch him move from the 11th to the 12th sign. Some of them wanted to hear this because I went over it fast, so I got a little more information on here. Now, in the Bible parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins, Jesus likened to himself a bridegroom who arrived later than expected. Now, he arrived later than expected. Now, many of them thought the Lord was coming to World War II. They thought Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, Hirohito was the three frogs in Revelation 16. But that's the Antichrist system yet to come, and is coming now. And then a little bit later, the atomic bomb will such fierce power. They, oh, any minute, the Lord is coming, you see. And he didn't come. Years followed, and he didn't come. Israel in their homeland, see. Now things begin to pick up. Didn't come yet, see. But you have to know your Bible. So many of those, they just kind of drifted away. What did the Lord do? Now listen right here. Now in the parable is a statement, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. In that pause, those that truly loved him stayed with him. He's going to show you how to do it. And those that were just kind of messing around, you know, that really didn't take him to heart, huh? They really didn't take to his faith and to the power in there. He waited. He paused a moment while prophecies came to pass, while more signs surrounded the real elect that could see the pause and to know about the delay. A little pause there. And the rest of them that truly didn't love him, he waited so the falling away could come that Paul spoke about. He couldn't come until the falling away come. So he paused. And then in 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4, you can read about that. And then at that pause, from the first great revival of the former rain that fell upon us with the power of the gifts, came the falling away. And it's still falling. And the leaves are still falling. And they're still falling. Now when certain amount fall, then we're nearing that midnight hour now. That latter rain runs into that midnight hour. And I'll tell you, it's going to be powerful. So during the pause, he allowed the falling away and more prophetic signs to take place that are around us. And more signs did take place and so forth. And signs are all around us there. So while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. See, got tired of waiting on him, so forth like that. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Now, there's the ones that weren't asleep. There is the very elect bride of God. They weren't asleep. There's that great cry that was made there. And behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And that latter rain just a pouring in every direction. Torrentials everywhere that it can pour. Go ye out to meet him. And it said, the wise even had to shake themselves. And barely had enough. They had barely enough to get in there with that elect. Without the elect, they'd have been left. There they were. And now they fan around the center core of that heart of the elect. They're called the elect too. They're the wise. And the others are the super wise. That's right. The alerted away. Then the foolish were asleep. Oh, they got, he was such a powerful, it woke them up. They said, oh, they couldn't get there. They couldn't get their feet started. They just stood. See? And then the Lord come, and the door was shut. And they said, let's run. Let's go get it. Let's go get the baptism. Let's go get the word of God. Let's get our lamps full here. This went out. Some of them just went out to all run out there. But the Lord come. He didn't know them then, but there's a great tribulation coming back again as the sands of the sea, and that's another sermon. So the elect went in with him. What a message. Go ye out to meet him now. Now that means that you're to do your part to get there. Said, go to meet him. He's standing right up above us. Glory. Hallelujah. Go ye out. It shows an effort. It shows action. It don't sit down and let him pick you up. How many of you believe that? That prophet crossed Jordan. He went out to meet him. How many of you believe it? We're going. Oh, my. If you love prophecy, you can't help but to feel stimulation. I think some of them, when they froze in their tracks, and they just couldn't get that all fast enough. They just couldn't. See, they needed the power. They needed the word. If they'd had that word of God, it'd been all everywhere, regardless whether we're stammering, jumping, or what. It would have been there. How many of you know that? Exactly right. But They went on to sleep. And the others were taken out, taken away. You all know the famous parable very well. And that's Matthew 25, 5 and 6. It'll tell you about that. But during that pause came the great falling away. See, and it came there. And many of those thought, you know, earlier that the Lord would come and kind of sit down on him. But he's coming now. All those signs are in position, saith the Lord. Oh, my. There's just, well, for the church age, outside of a great outpouring, you can't hardly see anything else that's left to take place. It'd be so minor to even speak about. All the rest of prophecies, they pour out over into the great tribulation. And there are many prophecies take place during that until the day of the Lord, and Armageddon, tribulation, Antichrist, so forth like that. That sweeps out in there. But the elect body of the church, we're at this parable right now. That pause and that tarrying in time is coming to an end. That falling away is coming to an end. That latter rain will take hold now. There was two rains promised, the former and the latter, and they'll all come down, a new thing together, two at one time. And when it comes there, and that's the message we preached there. Now, thus does the Lord represent himself as returning at the midnight hour. When that outpouring came, it probably went a little over in there, but he came, see, at there, prophetically speaking. Now, one of the strangest coincidences of historic timing that ever occurred was at the close of World War I. Now, this happened not by design, not by accident, not by their intention, but it happened. And it happened to show us what hour we're living in now. Listen to this real close, and we'll get in here to this hour. Now, it happened. World War I ended at 11 o'clock on the morning of November 11th, 1918, confirming something that happened almost a year before that. And God confirmed it with the ending of that First World War. Now watch what it is here. Now confirming this right here. And we'll read it. Now, November the 11th, 1918, which was the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, just 11 months after Allenby entered Jerusalem on the 11th day of December 1917. All of that happened and ended in World War I on November 11th, 1918. Meaning that the world in 1917 had entered the 11th hour. Just look how long ago that was. That's exactly what that means on those 11s. Pushing in to the midnight hour. Even the atomic scientists on that midnight clock has got the hands within 3 to 4 minutes of that midnight clock. God telling the people, a sudden rush of events. Dramatic and powerful things, political, social, religious, and otherwise, and scientific, will take place all at once. And the first thing you know, there's a quick, short work in righteousness to take place upon the earth. Oh boy, we're in at midnight hour. Now watch how it goes here. All of that took place, and it confirms going from the 11th now into the 12th hour, nigh unto it now. Now, did all of this chain of events and circumstances just happen, or was it not providential? The occupying of Jerusalem on the 11th of December 1917 by the British. I've even seen the motion pictures when the English officer Allenby went into Jerusalem and got it at that time. And when the war ended, it confirmed it again. This was almost 11 months earlier than the war ended. It's all tied together. And so occupying of Jerusalem on the 11th of December 1917 by the British, making Palestine to be a homeland for the Jews, was the most outstanding prophetic fulfillment of that war. Now, they didn't all go home at that time. They began to get away to go. That was strike at midnight. And just before midnight now, they would appear in that land. How many of you believe that? See how it's clicking along? How many of you believe that? What kept them out? Well, they didn't have sincerity enough to get together and go yet. But here comes Adolf. They're going to get there fast. How many of you say, praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
See, he said he took them out by the sword, that Roman sword, and he would bring them again by the sword. And he did. Millions of them. There are about three million something of them there now. Not joining the ranks of Adolf or anything. It's just that God allows that tool on the world to do his plans and doing something for the Jew. Now, not the slaughter and all that took place. No, not all that died in the war. But it was just a time clock and a way of God had of hurrying things on and so forth like that. Now, so we got it right here at the war. What did it all mean? Was it God's clock striking the hour? Yes, signifying to the world at that time of the 11th hour of history, and that the midnight hour when Jesus was to come was not far off. Now, 1917, it's not far off. Look how many years have come to pass. It's been over 70 years. Some of the fulfillment's taking place now that will take place for Israel, getting near the Antichrist, the covenant, and so forth like that. All of these things can place. Look at here. It'll probably, that clock runs out before the ending of the 90s, before the turning of the century, ending with the elect, maybe way before that. Gone is an opinion. We're getting closer and closer, and I put some notations here. I'll try to explain that in a minute. Now, you know, some people say the church leaves 7 years before. Some say in the middle of the tribulation. The Bible kind of looks like about the first 2.5 years it goes by, then the church is translated. But some hold to the seven-year period. If it isn't, time is even shorter yet. But you know my opinion on that, or what I believe the Lord showed me on that right there. Jesus, speaking of himself, said the bridegroom of the church would return at the midnight hour. It's later than most people think. Now listen to this right here. 1917. Let's go a little more prophetic numbers and add to this. 1917. We know that 1948... that they went into that homeland completely. In 1948 to 53 millions, it seems like coming into that land, 3 million something there now. The budding of the fig tree, which is yet tender. Then Jesus said, look around, I'm at the doors. And it's a young nation, just exactly. So we find out in 48 to 53, after the atomic bomb blasted, the midnight hour was upon us, that atomic blast. After Israel got in their homeland a few years later, the clock ticked close to the midnight hour. They were in their homeland. It just drawed it right up there. It was as significant as World War I and the other event that took place to come on up into that time near the midnight hour. We got there. Now, listen to this right here. And then time has run out almost 40 years since then. Clock ticking, saith the Lord.
Amen.
When will it stop? At a certain infinite second, the clock for the Gentiles over with. Right now, the times of the Gentiles have run out. We're in a transition period. It's been running out. They got the old city in 1967 during that war, old city of David, Jerusalem. During that time, the times of the Gentile, the Bible prophecy, is running out. We're in a transition period, only waiting this latter revival that's coming upon us now to be poured out. It's getting nearer. And the clock's ticking near. Now, you add 80 to 1917. We use some more figures that hit over in 77, some other figures that hit over in 48 by 30s, but those were figures that God used with the Jews, and we used those, and you heard that. Now, you know, number 80 to 1917. Listen to this right here. It means, in numerical values in the intensified form, the beginning of new things coming. It also means, it is associated in the Bible with resurrection and different things like that. But mostly, the number 8 is expansion. And expansion, and I really believe, way before that time, but at that time, should anybody still be upon the earth at that time, that the earth has reached its ultimate in expansion. And I feel that at that time, or long about that time or just before, you'll be looking right into the day of the Lord coming upon us. How many of you believe that? It will have reached its ultimate expansion, and that means that we'll have, despite depressions and recessions that come during the 7 years of the Antichrist, a great building thing takes place upon this earth and extremities. And so during that time, if you match it, now those figures that were with the Jews that we used was 30, 40s, I believe, and 70, the numerical values that are mainly in the Bible there. And so we find out, it's closing up in there. It's an expansion. The world probably reached this point of expansion before that, or sometimes before that. And it is too much to believe. In my opinion, it is too much to believe that before all of that, that the church will have been carried away. The signs are with us. We're only in a transition period. How long the pause? How long? He pauses in one place, there, while the falling away takes place. And then he says, I will shorten the time and get it back. How many of you are still with me? My, while revelations do come, stop and start again. Then he comes back, it said, and that if he did not interrupt, he said there'll be a shortening of time. See, even the stars, everything's out of haywire during the tribulation. But that shortening of time will run for the translation and run over in tribulation, run the great day of the Lord when he shortens that time. That means it's unexpected that all of a once, the signs are around us and we're looking way and we're looking on a little further, looking up into there. But at the same time, between now and then, the Lord can come practically at any time. We're in this rain now, see? And we're looking for it. Now, when he shortens that time, only God knows that. Only the Lord knows the time of his coming. Therefore, Satan is completely blanked out. He can see the signs all around. And he sees what's getting closer and closer. And then he steps up his activity. How many of you noticed he stepped up his activity in our streets? He stepped up the activity in many different type of small wars all over the earth. And when it gets closer, his activity will step up even more. We're at, knocking right at the door of the midnight hour. We're at the parable of the midnight hour. So, leaving that 11th hour into the 12th hour, going right up in there when they went home, God give them as a sign. The sign of the fig tree. When his leaves are yet tender, when he's very young, the coming of the Lord would take place. Israel's 40 years old nearly now. Next year is an important year, and the next 2 years for them and the world. I'll tell you, we're close. That last figure would take in a complete day of the Lord and all. You come back on down probably in there, and there's a lot of other events. Could even way before that. But it's just kind of, if you took it by the numerical values, you kind of see what would be going on. And everything like that should see a last in there. But at shortening the time, God is coming soon. How many of you feel the unction of the Holy Spirit? Unction. You see, we're terminating. We're terminating out of this body into a glorified body pretty soon. We're leaving this body. It shall be changed. We shall be like Him. Now, this year, we're in November towards the end of November of 1986. And just another month, we'll be in 1987. And those figures speak of many things going to take place too in the next followings, as I give them before in 80, and the Jews and so forth like that. Time is drawing closer and closer. And being that the times of the Gentiles run out, and we're in a transition period. Now, He's still dealing with us. He's still dealing with that church. But the time element, we're there. It's in a transition. This is the time to prepare your heart. It's the time to get ready. Amen. And this is the time that Jesus said, those who did not want to hear about the coming of the Lord would be the very ones that would be left, according to Him. And those that wanted to hear about how close the coming of the Lord would, that's the ones that He would prepare to make it to. That's exactly right. I believe that with all my heart. He gave up parables, several parables concerning that, as a warning at the end of the age. And every minister, every layman, and everyone that witnesses should always remember the coming of the Lord is very close. They should preach that, and there's a lot more type of sermons to preach, all right, and to preach about healing and baptism, different things like that, numerous different scriptures. But ever so often in here, we come with a prophecy and the second coming of the Lord and other type prophecies that, you know, we deal around in there. But they should preach it. It should be right before the people now. There's too many signs around us to delay anything. Just tell them the Lord is coming soon. The Lord is coming soon. How many of you believe that? And they say, when is the Lord coming? He's coming every day. Every day the Lord will be coming. Every day the Lord will be coming. How many of you believe that? See, so you set if you set a certain date, you can give an opinion. But if you set a kind of a certain date or something like that, you know, you can even get it closer than that. You can say, the Lord's coming every day. We believe the Lord's coming every day. And He said, look for Him each day. How many of you believe that in all type of seasons in a parable? You look for Him all of the time. So now, the urgency and the importance is this. The time clock is in her homeland, and prophetically the shadow is coming right on in. Amen. You know, on this temple, not changing the subject, there is so many mysteries about this temple and the creation that passes over it that I couldn't begin. Some of them, I may someday say some more, but we told you so many things about the temple. But there's a mountain back at this side over here behind her. And when the moon, I noticed it was probably about 3/4 full at the time. And if you stand right behind here, you have to be where you're up over that, standing on a little place so you can see the ridges. And when the moon comes up here from that direction of the east, right in here, somewhat similar, the top of the mountains over in there, from what I could see, blocks the moon until it pops up. See, it's been coming up, but the mountains block it. And when it pops up, it hits right up there, leaving the 6th to the 7th ridge, which the 6th is Philadelphia, and the 7th is Laodicea. And then above, that's the wings, the flight. And right now, those two church ages are running simultaneously along together. Laodicea is the shortest age that we've had in the church ages. That's been, you know, that God had 7 church ages until we go away in history there from Paul. And it comes right there, and that, when it comes up, it pops! That Philadelphia edge into Laodicea. And quickly, it goes out and
towards those wings and it disappears behind that cap. And it comes up back over here. Now, you say, what about the moon? Well, she'll have the moon under her foot. The sun-clothed woman, the church of the ages, with the moon under her foot and a crown of 12 stars. And she gave birth. Amen. And the man-child was translated and taken up. And the rest of the seed fled into the wilderness. Moon, symbolic of the church, according to the scriptures. In Revelation, it revelates from the sun, which is Christ, revelating from that word. And it pops up right there. Then, when the sun rises and hits over here on this side, you can see also the shadow coming over the building if you hit it just right. And I don't have time to go into all that. I think I explained it. But there are so many mysteries about this temple and what takes place. It's like a clock in itself. How many of you believe that God's coming soon? I believe that the temple was built by the Lord as a sign. And it's built in such a way. In fact, the shape and sign of it is a shape and sign. The shape and size of it and form of it is like the Lord has in the scriptures. Did you know that? That's exactly right. If you'll look in there and look out. So it's a sign, and even flying over it, all the airplanes and all the pilots and so forth, it looks like a great sign, like a clock down there below there. And I believe when the sun hits just right, it's like a clock. God's calling his people. Amen? How many of you believe that? I know one thing. You can count on this. That devil won't light in here very long until he gets out of this temple. How many of you believe that? Because it's of the Lord. I wish I had more time to explain that. That's not getting into astrology. That's prophetic astronomy, and it's biblical, right out of the Bible. There's so many places. Solomon spoke about the moon, the banner, and the Lord's people, and so forth like that. So many scriptures. But the fact that I looked and saw it strike at the... Well, let me explain this. This here at the bottom is Paul's age, and you go up 1, 2, 3 ridges. Go out there and count them. We didn't even know that at the time. That's the way it was built. And you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 7 church age. Revelation chapter 1 and 2 will tell you all about it. And there's the wings. That's a capstone it said would be there. The capstone right there come from his people. That's symbolic of the Lord Jesus. That's all that means. See, he was rejected. How many of you know that? And the bride will receive him. So you count up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 church ages from the first Ephesus of Paul age, right straight on up through there to the Philadelphia, Laodicea. Laodicea in Revelations and Philadelphia's church is right in there. That's a brotherly love, the evangelistic church. And the moon hit when it has to come up behind that ridge. It's built just right. It strikes right there where we're at in this age. And just a moment, it's in Laodicea, and she crosses back over behind that cap. I'll tell you of a truth. Now how many of you get it? We are in the seventh and last church age where the parable was given in Matthew 25. And when the Lord said there was a midnight cry, go ye out to meet him, it's where we're at. Amen. How many of you are ready to meet him? Now that's just what it means, go ye out to meet him. Now, you know what? If you're not ready, you can't go out and meet him, can you? Amen. Are you ready? Do you believe in the Lord? So that's a very important scripture. That day, I will make all the language one. And they shall worship me in one consent. You say he's going to make it. It's what it sounds like in the Bible there. During the millennium, at that time, the people that's left upon the earth at that time, the elect bride, a Gentile, with the Lord there. And you say, well, Babel, they were scattered everywhere. Let me bring out a point real quick here. Did you know that you can sit every nationality in this world and internationality and so forth? You probably have hundreds of different languages and so forth. And you set them down, and each one of them can pray to the Lord, and he can understand every one of them. Exactly as if one person's praying. He'll understand every word that you say. No matter, you can talk in Chinese over here. You can talk in Japanese over here. You can talk in Indian over here. You can talk in Spanish over here. Mexican over here. American over here. English over here. German over here. You can talk in Ukrainian, Russian. You can send them all down in here. And each one of them pray to the Lord. It don't make him any difference. He understands each one as if it was the same one. He knows all about that. How many of you know that? But In that day, he said, the language of the earth will be of one language and one consent. I believe that with all my heart. We got a lot of revelations in here, didn't we? You say. Zephaniah 3:9 will tell you all about it. You can read it yourself, and therefore you have to stand where it stands right there. Zephaniah 3:9. And then in Zechariah, it says, in that day, the Lord's name shall be one, and they shall worship him as one. How many of you believe that? Isn't it great? Revelation is great. That is right. Just bring that in a one name. And he said, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father. How many of you believe I come in that name? That is the name. Amen. So we've got it this morning. If you need Jesus, the only name that you need to know in this midnight hour now is the Lord Jesus. Oh, that's the one that controls the clock of your life, close the clock of this world. I want you all to stand to your feet this morning. And if you need Jesus in your heart, you just ask Him to forgive you. You ask the Lord. He's already paid the price. You don't have to pay the price. You accept it. Point blank what He said. That word is real. I'm telling you. It'll vibrate, stimulate, and if you use that right, it'll just electrify you. Glory to God. It always did things for me. I don't know. Boy, how people can sit still. It does things for me. Amen. I just read just a verse or two, and boy, there's something going on. There's a whole lot going on, saith the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. So, you give your heart to the Lord. Tonight we have a rally here, and then you come up here on this platform. If you need any sickness, I'll pray for you. But it's that simple to come to the Lord is to repent. If you need anything further, you can even ask for your healing and so forth like that. And God will heal you. Isn't He just great? How many of you believe the Lord? He's just great. Every one of you that started out with the Lord, you retain that. Don't do as the others and kind of fall in that pause, fall away during His pause there. No, just continue right on and show Him that you really love Him. Those that paused and fell out, they didn't love Him. That's what He was trying to show to everybody on the earth. How many of you believe that? You know, well, I won't get into that. Amen. But He knows how to do that. He's really great. Woo! All right. Now, let's show the Lord we love Him this morning. Now, let's show Him that we truly love Him and that we're not going to wait around. We're not going to be in that. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus. That pause isn't running us off. Amen. Come on now and shout the victory. We'll do something here because, you know, this tape, sometimes you do this. This tape, when they're released, they go all over the country and overseas. And He'll probably have to bring this back around the other side. When I was saying, you know, 80, take that from 1917. That's one of those prophetic numbers from there. You put 80 on 1917, and it'll shoot right on up in there that the whole thing could be wiped out and finished. Or if you want to, just put 8 on to where we're at, and probably you'll be hitting close too. Amen? Yeah. How many of you see what I mean there? But the other is 19. The other's from 1917, and you put it on there and watch the whole thing flush on out in there in a worldwide expansion and so forth like that. That's what that means there. Of course, we used from 72, that meant other things for Israel and so forth like that. And the way we're sitting right now in about 87 and 8, I'll tell you what, during that period of time, I'm looking for a whole lot of things going on. I'm telling you right now, we're getting close. Do you believe that? Well, God bless you. So He'll bring that back around over into the message because I don't believe I brought it out just exactly like that. And probably clarify some things here. So when He comes to this, we'll mark it down, and He can bring this over on the other side so He can go right over there at the end of the message. And those people from all over the country will know what I'm talking about. I love Jesus, don't you? Yeah. All right.